All right, welcome to Couch Talk. I'm Steven Novak. I'm here with James and Josh. I want to say hi, introduce yourself.
How you doing, people?
It's James Adams. I like basketball, you know?
Oh, my bad. My name's Josh. People might know me as Juicy Josh, but just Josh right now.
Bet. Well, yeah, I'm Scuba Steve, I guess, on Twitter. Since we're doing
head ass
annotations,
already off to the Twitter name already.
Yeah, dude. Follow me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, follow him while you're at it. Before you continue this podcast, just follow him right before.
It was a joke. I'm just kidding.
We'll drop the ads at the end.
We'll drop the ads.
So yeah, we're gonna be doing an NBA podcast today. That's like our theme here at Couch Talk. Did I even say Couch Talk?
You did.
All right.
Sweet. Well, if you don't know now,
now you know.
All right, well, let's just kick it off, man. So we're just watching the awards ceremony. First impressions, I mean, what do we want to start with?
cringe.
I think we should start off with the MVP.
MVP?
Yeah. As well. I mean, let's just get straight to
the big boys.
The big apple, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about it. What do y'all feel about it? Giannis, yes, no?
I think it was hands down.
I mean, yeah, first.
I don't think it was even close. I don't think it was even close.
I wouldn't say it wasn't close.
I don't think it was close.
Oh, no. I mean,
why is it not close?
I mean, Harden had a pretty crazy year, mind you. Like, I get it. Like, the Bucks, like, they were number one seed, like, 60 wins. Giannis was going off, like, the whole year. But, like, Harden was going off the whole year, too. And, mind you, like, with injuries from the Rockets, how bad they started off, and, like, all the crazy performance from Harden, like, he basically almost averaged 40 points. And like going into like All-Star weekend, so right. Like he really put the team on his back, and like he was the most valuable player.
Yeah, what, like 32 straight games scoring like 30 plus,
yeah,
right.
So
we haven't seen that since like Kobe. Kobe was,
yeah, that's why, like, for me, I was kind of just like, I mean, you see what Harden's doing like by himself, like I get it, like, yes, that's what is a team sport, but like when you're talking about the most valuable player on the team, I just feel like with Harden, if they took him off the team, then they would not even be playoffs. If you took Giannis with the Bucks, hey, this is the East we're talking about. They might have a chance to go to the playoffs. Just saying.
I don't know. I think the Bucks are pretty weak without Giannis, and I think we can get into this later, but we'll talk about why I think the Bucks are weak without Giannis, because the Raptors had an interesting defensive scheme that really kind of made Giannis a lot more obsolete on offense.
But there were two games from the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to discredit James Harden, but I am at the same time. he had another premier all-star. I'm not going to count Chris Middleton as the CP3 to James Harden, but I mean,
no, that goes without saying.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah, that was the playoffs.
Chris Paul is going to be a Hall of Famer, and Giannis doesn't have any Hall of Famers in this team. I agree with Steve. I think without Giannis, that team would have been absolute garbage. Maybe an eighth or ninth seed without Giannis, without the entire season. But he made the engine go, and I wouldn't – the whole coaching debate, that's going to be later on. But I think I think their season was good as a whole. I think it was only a matter of time until Giannis was going to receive this award. It was either going to be this year or next year. But
we got no takers for Paul George.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like 2 months maybe.
No, for Paul George, no. What's up? We all good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Aguilar had to pop in real quick, ask a question. We're all set.
My bad.
Well, you know, no, you're good. That's actually a good point. I mean, why not? Let's just get right into the coaching then. I think we're all pretty much on the same page about Giannis winning MVP. You know, Harden had a great season. But I think Giannis, yeah, I mean, takes the ship. So how about we'll go to the coach debate then. So we saw Mike Budenholzer took home the award, obviously led the Bucks to a 60-win season, number one seed in the East, going up against Doc Rivers and the Clippers, and then Mike Malone and the Nuggets. So personally, I actually thought that Mike Malone and Doc Rivers both had more impressive seasons than Budenholzer. And the reason I say that, Doc and Mike Malone, thank you. I keep forgetting. Oh my goodness, Doc and Malone are both in the Western Conference. a much stronger conference this season. And they also lacked a true superstar. I mean, you look at the Clippers and they have good players. They got Pat Beverly, you know, they got, yeah, I think he's going up a little. They got Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell. He had a great season. Obviously Lou Will coming off the bench. Teodosic is a nice guard, good passer. But no true, you know, overwhelming superstar. You look at the Nuggets. I mean, Jokic, don't get me wrong, is a top center of the league, but he dominates the game in a different way. He's a floor general. He's more of a facilitator. They run a similar Spurs like system. So I personally think that both coaches did a better job in taking less talent further and taking a better system rather than, you know, I think the Bucks really relied heavily on the overall individual performance of Giannis and kind of were able to ride that versus I think the adjustments that Malone and Rivers had to make.
I mean, I ain't gonna disagree with that either, because like I feel the same way with like Malone and Doc. I mean, especially with Doc in the first place, like they weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs, and he somehow got them to the playoffs. And with Malone, everyone counted them out because they didn't have a true superstar. But you obviously see them come together, play team ball, and like they literally grew in the playoffs and going into the playoffs. Like, I mean, that's just me though.
I don't know. I'm gonna give it to Budenholzer. Best record, man. I mean, what else do you want more from a coach? You know, wins is wins. I mean, I understand the point of make that's
Dwayne Casey, that, man.
I mean, that's the point of like coaching is to make players better. But I feel like Budenholzer turned Chris Middleton into the guy he is today. I don't think Jason Kidd did that. I think Mike Budenholzer did that.
That's fair.
You know, I still think Giannis's upstart was all because of Jason Kidd. But no, I think the reason why the Bucks were so good is because their chemistry is great and they play as a team and they could play both sides of the ball. And obviously they have the MVP on their team. I mean, to be honest, I don't know. I think even if you threw the Bucks in this year's NBA Finals, I still think they'd win too. They're a championship team. So I'm not going to discredit Budenholzer just because he was 2 wins short of the NBA Finals, but I still think he's coach of the year for sure. I mean, if they keep the same team and they run it back, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it again. But I understand the Mike Malone and Doc Rivers debate. I mean, they both from Mike Malone's standpoint, turning in Jokic into the star he is today, and making Murray and Harris and Barton and that whole entire team click. There's a case obviously for him. Doc Rivers, obviously, I agree. He didn't have no premier all-star or star on his team. I mean, it's impressive to do that in the West, especially when you're competing with your Warriors and the Spurs and Rockets of the league. But
don't forget the Blazers, baby.
I mean,
Griff City.
I mean,
nah,
you know, I don't know. I don't know. Every year they get swept out of the playoffs, so I don't know.
Oh man.
I'm gonna have to I don't know. I feel like you can't say, oh, it was a terrible choice of picking Budenholzer. I mean, Budenholzer had the most wins. Uh-huh. Budenholzer was 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. Both coaches were not even close to the NBA Finals, so I feel like might as well just throw him the bomb. But I mean, if this scenario comes up again next year, then you know, obviously I wouldn't be a fiend of them turning it to Michael Malone or Doc Rivers, but we'll see. Frank Vogel, 2020, stay alert, baby. Stay alert. Oh, if he finishes the season, baby, you know,
James won't be coming back to the podcast.
I hope I'm here for that day.
To cap off your final point, I got to give Budenholzer some credit too, because the Bucks did have the highest defensive efficiency in the league this year. So now you got to credit some of that to Budenholzer as well, you know.
Pop.
Well, yeah, I mean, Pop, right, but.
I mean, Brett Brown, too. I mean, you can't just say just Budenholzer, I mean.
You know, yeah, Red Auerbach. Yeah, let's just start going down the line. All right. Well, let's talk about Rookie of the Year now. How will we switch over, transition Rookie of the Year?
Trey Young got robbed.
How are you going to say that?
Did you see the votes? They're like, I think I think Trae Young only got two, and Luka got all of the other votes.
I was one of the two, baby. I was one of the two. I'm going to stand by it.
Let's hear it.
It's all about how you finish, baby. And I think Trae Young balled out towards the end, and he had utterly nothing on that freaking team. Not to say the Mavs had anything either, but
I was going
to
say.
But I figure, you know, it's only a matter of time, baby. Trae Young's going to bounce back from this. I wouldn't be too shy of seeing him in an all-star team in the next 2 years. But next Steph Curry, mark my words, on this podcast, the very first podcast, I'm putting that right now.
Hot takes already.
Hot takes already. Trae Young got robbed.
Well, mark that as the first one. That's the first hot take of the show.
I mean, I get it. Like, he did finish strong, but guess what? Luka was strong the whole year. It's consistency, dog. Like, Luka literally showed why he should be the rookie of the year and why he has a bright, bright future in the league.
Now, if we're talking about consistency, then the coach of the year debate, not even close. Should have been Budenholzer. He's consistent. Playoff team after playoff team after playoff team.
This year, though.
I don't know if that works that way.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
is that, how the transitive property, how that, like, is that the transitive property you're using?
No, I'm really going to use that today. Consistency, like he says.
Oh, my gosh.
If that's the bomb we're throwing. If that's the case, too, then LeBron should have been MVP candidate, too, with the 27-8.
How about we look at overall play, overall style? I mean, Luka's a leader. He gets the whole team involved. Man almost averaged a triple-double as a rookie.
Was he the primary ball handler?
He doesn't need to be the primary ball handler if he's the primary playmaker.
Even if he wasn't the primary ball handler, wouldn't that be more impressive? Because Trae Young is the primary ball handler?
You expect him to make more mistakes. I mean,
also, he can't be a primary ball handler. Dennis Smith, man, the guy's throwing off like turnovers all over the place.
Well, I'm talking about after Dennis Smith, though.
I guess. I mean, I personally wouldn't mind having Luka Doncic as the primary ball handler, but I personally think that he is the playmaker. He is the reason that team had any sort of success this year. I think he's going to be the cornerstone of the Mavericks franchise, and that's not a hot take. Because he won Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just kidding. I think he's going to lead the Mavs. Hoping Porzingis stays, and he'll be an easy two-way. You know, he'll be the second guy up. But
are they playoff contenders with Porzingis?
Hell no! Yeah. Hell no!
Yikes.
No, they need a lot more pieces around them for sure. All right, so I mean, we're pretty much on the Luka, except for James.
Yeah, so no one likes Aiden. No, that's cool.
Well, I mean, I think the story with Aiden, I mean, we touched on it before the show, actually. Josh and I were talking about this, and Josh pointed out Aiden doesn't get the ball now.
Oh, definitely not. No.
He probably would have shined more if the offense ran through him.
I agree.
But, you know, we don't know what Phoenix is doing.
No idea what the hell they're doing. Cam Johnson, though, shout out. That's a steal. Keep that alive, UNC rep. That man's the best shooter in the draft, no cap.
Really?
I swear.
We'll have to get
43 from the clip from three. That dude's money.
I mean, he ain't lying.
I ain't lying. 43 from the clip. That's crazy. I mean, best shooter in the draft, UNC rep.
All right, well, we got, you know, speaking of best shooter, do you see the news on, like, Jimmer Fredette? Someone put him on their summer league team.
Guess who?
That was the Warriors.
Was it the Warriors? Oh my god! It was the Warriors. Shout out Mauricio. It was the Warriors. Yeah, Jimmy Fredette, the actual best shooter in the league, is back.
Yikes!
Well, that's a very hot take right there.
What's his nickname? The Lost. He has some like
the Great White Hope.
Well, yeah, the Great White Hope.
That was one.
That was one.
It's like the Lost Master, something like that.
I have no idea.
Who knows?
We'll fact check that later.
We'll get to an actual topic now. Jimmer Fredette, first topic of the show. All right. How about we transition a little bit? Let's talk about the Pelicans trade. Pelicans Lakers. I mean, that happened a few days ago now at this point, but let's hear it. I mean, James, Lonzo, let's talk.
I'm gonna keep this unbiased as hell right now, because my first initial reaction, I was kind of pissed. I was like, if the Lakers are all about winning chips, they had the chip. It was just going to take a couple of years, and they could have won like a dynasty like the Warriors. But, you know, LA is a win now. So if you're looking from that standpoint, it's a great trade for both teams. New Orleans had a scrap regardless. I mean, they had to get something out of this. I mean, if the Celtics were going to give up Tatum, then, of course, I'd pick up, you know, just Ingram, Ball, and a couple of handful of picks. And it turned out pretty good for them, to be honest. I mean, the Jackson Hayes pick at center, I like that as well. I mean, their team's going to be a playoff team in like the next 3 years, I guarantee you. If if everything goes as developed. If they develop as right, then I wouldn't count out.
Freak lineup.
Yeah. That's huge. Oh, yeah. They're huge.
I mean, and we haven't talked about Zion yet, but God bless the Pelicans didn't pull any other draft mess ups like Anthony Bennett, you know, and draft anybody else but Zion. Yeah. But
shout out that one time.
Shout out to Anthony Bennett one time, wherever the hell you're at, you know. Hope you're listening to this feeling like crap, you know, listening to this podcast. But wow. I'm gonna say it straight up.
What's the beef?
off cap, this Lakers trade. They got AD, who I don't care if they pick up Kemba, Jimmy. I don't care if they even pick up Seth Curry. Seth Curry is me better than Rajon Rondo was. His plus minus as a Laker, so terrible. Oh my God.
But playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo. Yeah, right.
Well, if they get there.
If they even get there, right. But I think if the Lakers I don't care any top marquee free agent. I don't care if it's Chris Middleton or Tobias Harris. I don't care who they pick up, Danny Green. I'll just pick up a bunch of shooters.
And JJ Redick.
JJ Redick.
He's in free agency, right?
However the hell, if Anthony doesn't waive that 15% trade clause, I mean, he's just a hoarder for that. But I mean, if he likes his money and if he wants to win championships, I mean, if you want to win championships, you waive it. I mean, but.
Well, and if you win championships, theoretically, you're probably going to make more money anyway. I've never understood why players don't take pay cuts for that reason.
I mean,
if it's going to help your chance of winning a championship. Too. You'll make money from other endorsements, right? Like, quit being short-sighted, right?
You can easily make up that $4 million.
It's not even that, though. Like, I think the trend started like a couple of years ago when like the cap was expanded. So like, you see all these players getting like super huge maxes, and now everyone's like, oh, I want a huge max. Because even before then, like my example is like with when LeBron went to Miami, like they couldn't pay every single like D Wade, Bosh, and LeBron a max. Like they all took pay cuts. Same with the Spurs. Timmy D, Manu, Tony, they would all take pay cuts to make sure the team was better around them, because they knew like it wasn't just about them; it was a whole team.
But that procedure implied because of the first team. If you make first team, you're eligible for a supermax, which is one of the reasons that they implemented after KD signed with Golden State. They were like, "Oh, we need to find a way. Home teams and prior teams can have leverage on other teams of players." But I feel like, I don't know. If AD, hopefully AD waives this trash trade bonus before the sixth. So that way that gives them an extra $4 million to spend on mid-level exception players. I mean, man, that team, you know, for the past 6 years has been ridiculousness, ups and downs. For those who are listening to this, I've watched them for like the past 6 years, man. And it's been a complete ride. After Kobe left, I just, you see different things of what's going on.
Hate to see it, man.
Man, you definitely hate to see it. But overall, the trade, I'm kind of happy those guys that went to New Orleans, they get a breath of fresh air. I still feel like Kuzma's still going to be in the hot seat if he underperforms with those guys. Just like how K-Love got the hot seat in Cleveland.
Yeah, true stuff, yeah, definitely.
So, but I mean, if they get a marquee free agent, then Kuzma's just going to right back seat, like a JR,
He gonna ball out this season.
I don't know.
I think Kuzma's got some potential, man.
That's what I've been saying.
He's quick. I mean, his defense isn't there.
So you're saying if they get a marquee free agent and they have AD and LeBron, you're saying he's still gonna perform the same way he was before AD and all these guys?
I mean, it's much about adaption, though.
Right.
Like, if he learns how to adapt to like the new like role he has.
Well, I mean,
like,
because in previous teams he had to be the guy. I mean, you know,
right.
They drafted an old school point guard in Ball, and then I mean he's not even a scorer, so of course they're going to rely on the Ingrams and, you know, the Kyle Kuzmas and the Brook Lopez's, and then, you know, I mean.
Right, but Kuzma can spot up and he can slash. He's athletic. So in this kind of system where you have LeBron, AD, first off, LeBron and AD are going to be running so many pick and rolls. I mean, right? You can imagine how many pick and rolls they're going to run. That's an athletic, you know, forward, and then you have like arguably the best passer of all time. Why would you not do that, right? So if you have Kuzma spotting up, not only can he knock down the three ball, he can cut in, he can put the ball on the floor, he can make plays. The guy does a lot more than you know, just put up points on a shitty team. He can perform well, and he can be a reliable scorer. He's what Gordon Hayward could have been in Boston if he didn't get injured. And if, you know, Brad Stevens didn't have him just stand in the corner every single play.
You say that on record right now?
On record.
All right.
Yeah, that's on record.
All right.
That's on record. I think Kyle Kuzma is going to have a pretty decent season next year.
I feel like
maybe not blow up. I'll take a step back. He's not going to like break out as a superstar or anything like that. But I think Kuzma will have a very good year next season.
You calling him an all-star or what?
No, we're saying he's not going to be an all-star. He's going to be one of those like fringe all-stars. Like,
how many years do you give him?
Oh, man, these are deep questions.
we're putting him on record. Yeah, so I'm going to play this back.
How many years until Kuzma becomes an all-star?
Yeah.
How many years until LeBron retires? How many years until LeBron is not, you know? I mean, it really also depends. You have to also think about KD's injury. Does KD come back? Because that's two big small forwards.
I don't think he's staying.
No. I'm talking about his injury. Coming back from his injury.
Like,
so if we're talking about all-stars, that's two big slots that would open up if LeBron retires / gets too old to be a relative all-star, which I don't honestly see it happen. Or KD also his injury never really recovers, ends up not being able to make all-star teams.
So that's two forward slots.
Right? I think.
Whatever, man. I'm going to say Kuzma makes an all-star year 4 years.
4 years?
Screw it. 4 years. Why not?
It's not bad.
If Zion stays in the West, that is not happening at all. So,
Zion busts. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
If you want to get to the juicy part of this episode, skip forward to this part.
On the real, though, with Zion. Is he going to be the best?
All right, let's talk. Yeah,
like, can we even like talk about
let's
that?
Let's just get into the draft. Sure.
In court?
Sure. Well, talk about it. You start, Josh. Say something.
I mean, with Zion, everyone's saying he's like the next best thing. Like honestly, like
how the hell is he not?
No, I agree. But all I'm saying is like people are already saying like he's going to be like the greatest of all time, which I get. Like when you see a guy like this,
remember when they said that about OJ Mayo?
Rip. Dog, OJ Mayo,
Vince Carter,
cold though.
Vince Carter,
and then he just—I
mean, yeah,
it's gotta be the drugs, man. You know,
I'm Team Zion, man, for sure. I mean, I don't like to get too hyped up about.
No. I'm not hating on him. I used to
hate on him. By the way,
I know you did.
I'm just saying, I'm not,
Duke, you know,
I'm not a fluff guy. I don't like to put too many
expectations.
Yeah, I won't put too many big expectations on players before I've even seen them play at an NBA level. An NBA game is nothing like a college game. People don't understand that an average NBA player shits on most college players. I mean, yeah, they can be on the same court.
Facts, though.
But you have to understand this is a professional career. That's why, you know, there's only two rounds of drafting. That's how it works, right?
I mean, Luka really shit on that narrative, so.
Yeah, but Luka also got to play professional ball overseas.
True.
And he was
and
he was killing it.
And he was killing it, and he had been playing for a long time. He had a lot more experience than college players did.
True.
At that high of a level, right? So the reason I'm saying with Zion, I'm really confident with him, whereas I'm not usually this outwardly confident with any players. I think he just has the superstar kind of mindset. The guy is humble. I think the guy is really buying into the fact that he fits, you know, in a sense, a LeBron mold, but he wants to still be himself. He's humble. Yeah. He's got a really good work ethic. And the kid doesn't quit. I mean, the kid wanted to come back after that. He was not fazed by that shoe. A lot of players would be scared. A lot of college players are thinking about their career. They're like, oh, well, I don't want to risk, you know, blowing out my knee in college.
Yeah. That's respect.
Really right. It's more of a team, team game.
And college really set that bar for him. He could have done that, and it's okay, right? He could have done that. And
there were a lot of question marks, though, if he didn't play the rest of college, though.
There would have been, for sure. But, I mean, the same time, you see him. You see his size, athleticism, skill, passing.
Yeah.
Even with a small sample size from Duke. I mean, look at Kyrie. Kyrie had an injury early on, too.
He played 12 games.
Right.
Still number one.
And that's no problem. That's the point, right? He doesn't get, you know, totally slandered for it because that's understandable. But for me, I really like – that shows for me, first, leadership. Not to say that Kyrie doesn't have leadership for that reason. However, I don't think Kyrie's a leader. That's a whole different topic.
No. Spoiler alert. He doesn't have leadership, and it's almost 10 years later. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but I think Zion has all the elements in the making of a superstar. Obviously, he's got to make it happen. He's got to be the one to put in motion, but I'll put the Scuba Steve endorsement on it. I'm not going to make that a thing. I'm going to
– Please.
I'm not going
to
edit this video.
I want
video.
You to make that a thing, though. That's fine.
I'm not going
to
edit this video, but if I ever do, I would take that out.
He gets the Scuba Stamp. There you go.
The Scuba Stamp? Actually, we'll keep that. That sounds nice. Thanks, yeah. James.
There you go.
It really builds my confidence.
That's all right. I got y'all. Promotion, baby.
Who's the steal? Who's the steal? The who are some of the steals, I guess, of the draft?
Oh, you already know, baby.
Please.
Ball, ball.
You think so? On.
Hell yeah.
I like how nobody gave you a reaction off that whatsoever. Like, that's, come on. Because that's how unappealing that was.
Dude, come on. How's that not unappealing, the hype, bro? Man. How, what hype? I mean, I get it. You know, injuries on a big man, it's never good. But like,
Greg Oden.
We've always seen like a small sample of him, like how he can do it. You know what I mean? Just saying, if he stays healthy, look at Joel Embiid. People said the same thing about him. Guess what? He got healthy.
I can do that. Joel Embiid also put on some weight.
But name anybody else.
Oof.
Oof. Oh,
hey, that's why we're trusting the process.
We're comparing Bol Bol and Joel Embiid or what?
Wow, actually, you know, honestly, I feel like that's really not that bad of a comparison.
I mean, think about it.
I mean, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, take a second here. Take a second.
Guys, I'm vetoing myself in this conversation right now.
Look. If you look at their play styles, right, Bol Bol has a very unpolished post game, right?
True.
It's not that it's not there at all, but it's not Hakeem worthy, right? We saw Embiid in a very similar situation. Raw talent, raw explosiveness, height, but some touch on his jumper.
I mean, he only played 9 games in college, so
all I'm saying is it's not the most uncomparable thing.
I need to see more from him.
Both start as skinny dudes with injuries.
I need
that's pretty generic.
Jesus.
That's a lot of people.
I was gonna say, yeah.
So Bol Bol is the steal? I'm not buying it.
No, he's not the steal. Oh. Why would I say he's the steal?
Right, I don't know. You're right.
You really asked like, hey, steal. I'm like, oh, that's
I don't steal. Think he's a steal. That's
well, who do you think's a steal, Novak? Let me know.
I like Kevin Porter. I don't think that's a popular pick.
I mean, I get why you say it though.
I just think the guy shows flares of star plays, man. I mean, he really has the ball on a string. He's relentless at attacking the basket. And he's got a nice, smooth jumper. And he's a lefty, man. Lefties are killer, man. I feel like they just have a creative part of their game that right-handed players, you know, I'm biased. I'm lefty. But I'm serious. I think he's gonna cause some trouble in a few years. I don't know if he'll get enough playing time early on. I'm not sure if he'll develop early on.
I was going to say, it'll come down to development.
Honestly. I think it'll come down to development. But I think he has some tools. I think he could be a real killer. Real smooth player. Plays kind of like Deion Waiters.
Not bad.
And honestly, I think Deion Waiters, while we're on the topic, I think when he's healthy, Deion Waiters is going to go crazy.
Yes, if he's
the man can score. The man can put up buckets.
I'm really going to replay the hell out of this podcast.
I'm serious.
None of this shit.
No,
happens.
I mean, dog. Like,
hey,
I mean,
but that's the point of the podcast. Cold, that's why I got to talk about it, man. You saw him right before his injury. He's averaging like 25 a game, like 10 games straight.
From Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, yeah, Miami sucks. Yeah.
Dragic.
I mean, yeah, that's Dragic and then what? Hassan Whiteside. Oh, dude.
I mean, what's his name? Oh, James Johnson. Tyler Johnson. Oh, my gosh.
This is the guy that just like posters everybody on that team, man.
Oh, Derrick Jones.
Derrick Jones, dude.
Derrick Jones Jr., baby.
Trampoline, dude.
Yeah. Damn.
I already said this in the beginning of the episode. I think Cam Johnson at 11th for Phoenix.
Cam Reddish.
Keldon
Johnson.
Yikes.
No, dude, Cam Reddish is going to be nice. You don't think Cam Reddish is going to be good?
I think it's just going to be like a Drummond and Greg Monroe thing. I don't think him and John Collins are going to exist. It's not going to happen. Like, one of them's going to get canceled out.
Are we talking about the same player here? Cam Reddish?
Cam Reddish and John Collins, yes.
Why do you think that's not going to work?
Because I feel like the Atlanta Hawks really like John Collins. I feel like they have a lot of future with him and Trae Young. I just feel like Atlanta's going to try to put a cap on him, just like how they try to put a cap on Trae in the beginning. They just said, you know what? We're not going to do anything this year. We're not going to go crazy. And so... And that's pretty much how it went down. I mean,
wow.
Honestly, but no, I still think still the draft is Cam Johnson.
I mean,
everybody's bashing Phoenix, saying what the hell are you doing? Like,
I've seen a lot of people endorsing Little, the pick for the Trailblazers.
I was surprised how low he went.
Yeah, he dropped to what, 25? Right?
He should have easily been 15 to 20.
Stuart Little.
I'm really surprised. All those teams passed up on him, but
Nasir, right? That's his name.
But hell, yeah. I mean, now I'm really confused what the hell they're doing with the pickup of Kent Bazemore. I don't think Nasir is even going to see the floor unless they're going to really truly give him like
I think it's just
ninth
for,
man
I
minutes.
I think it's just more for development. Like, like that's... anyone. Like, yeah, like if Kent gets hurt, then like, hey, Nasir gonna get the spot. But that's like anyone. I think it is a little.
All right, guys. Had a little issue with the audio there. Cut out there for a second. We're back. We're talking about Nasir Little. Is the Trailblazers pick, 25th pick of the draft, and how he is a steal. I was actually just going to say real quick, I think what he could be for the franchise, what the Trailblazers really need right now, and I'm glad they drafted Little, they need that last piece, the last part of their triangle, right? They've had tons of success with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. I honestly thought they had a great playoff run.
Could have been better if they had
Nurkic. Yeah, it could have been better with Nurkic. I think that really brings a lot more to the table size-wise, rebounding, scoring. Obviously, hate to see the injuries.
Warriors had stupid amount of second-chance points
without
Nurkic. So.
Right, they're just missing
that
inside presence. So I think that Nasir Little brings that next and final piece of consistency.
If they all stay.
If they all stay, correct. So that's all I really had to say about it, y'all. Y'all got anything? Or
if DeMarcus Cousins is listening right now, you got to go to Portland, my guy, because you messed up going to Golden State, my dude. And you can't buy yourself a ring, dude, for $5 million. You got to pay more than that. You got to pay way more than that. But I feel like I agree with you on that. I feel like Nasir Little is going to help that team.
Yeah, because they're always missing like a forward, kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is probably why they added Kent Bazemore.
Evan Turner, yeah.
Evan Turner stepped up. But he's like, okay. Overall, like, was he consistent? No. Rodney Hood, I mean.
Because he's not a threat from the perimeter.
Like, yeah, like, they're missing, like, a consistent forward. Yeah, like.
Right.
The grit and grind, like, not just, like, show up and, like.
Farouk Aminu.
Exactly.
I mean, he plays defense.
Yeah. But
you want to talk about.
Like a, he's you want not like a. Oh, my bad.
No, you're good. You wanted to talk about Keldon Johnson.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I want to make sure we got to Keldon Johnson. Josh is hype on this guy.
Bro, there is extreme bias on this.
Not to be fair.
It is so much bias on this.
Yes, I am a fan of Big Blue Nation. Go Kentucky. Sorry. But, I mean, dog, like, come on. Like, Keldon Johnson. I get it. The Spurs don't even need another guard. But, like, they're obviously stacking the – for God knows what. I have no idea. But, I mean, I think they found another one. He's a 6'6". He's a two-way guard. All he needs to do is work on his jump shot a little bit. But, like, I mean, shout out Chip. You know, he can make miracles happen.
Hey, happen like, with Tony, happen with Kawhi.
Exactly. And he's a dog on defense. And guess what? Pop loves that. I mean, like, he's going to see minutes. Like, he's going to get time. Like,
defense.
All he has to do is just get development. Yeah.
Like, check this here.
Kawhi, man. You killed him, man.
Kawhi's the best. Kawhi is the best two-way
guard. I'm happy for you, Kawhi. First, I'm really happy for you, dude.
First episode since we're here, Kawhi is the best two-way player of all time. Yep. Yep. Dang. All
right.
And we're not even going to debate it right now because that's too hot. That's too spicy.
But I'm already hella irritated, but yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that's why I wanted to just keep the tension high, you know. But
yeah.
you gotta get the listeners on the first episode, so. Yep, stay tuned for that at some point.
How do you say that Spurs 19th pick? What was it, his last name?
Simonic?
Luka Simonic. Something like that. 6'10", skinny as hell. He weighs just as much as Keldon Johnson.
Do we have to keep buying in that we're the foreign franchise? I mean, I'm not against it.
I don't know, dude.
At this point, it just seems like if they're not coming here, it's...
Y'all just passing up passports at this point.
Right.
You can come to America. Right.
Nothing against that. I just think it's interesting how we just
turned. And then you another girl with a second round pick. So I was just like, I don't know, man. Like,
who knows, man? Hopefully Lonnie Walker just blows up. If DeJounte Murray, if his offense is more than just that rec ball stuff that we saw, because, I mean, you see, you know, man, I hate that shit, man. I see it every year. Melo's been back in the gym. You see him at that fucking Lifetime Fitness and his stupid-ass hoodie. And he out here, you know, taking jab step, one dribble, pull-up jumper. I do that with 12-year-olds at my camps, man. Like, you know, yeah, he hits them at a high clip. I get it. But so those videos.
That, like, if Melo, like, was a step in L.A. and then, like, you know, man, you go against them, look, you say you give them a bucket.
Look, man, all I'm saying is those workout videos are a bunch of bullshit, man. Like, they're pros, man. I've watched Steve Nash. I went to a Spurs game back in, like, 2013. Shout out my pops. He took me to a Spurs game. And it couldn't have been 2013. It was before that. It had to be in, like, 2010.
I was going to say.
Because Steve Nash was still with the Suns. He's still with the Suns. And during his warm-up, before all the teams came out and everyone came warm-up, you know, players would come out individually, Steve Nash came out. on his own for 45 minutes, almost 45 minutes. I think he missed two jump shots the entire warm-up. The entire warm-up. I mean, he was shooting threes. He was shooting shots off the dribble. I mean, yeah, he wasn't doing anything too crazy, right? But the man missed like two or three shots in a 40-minute session. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to show me an Instagram video for 15 seconds of Carmelo Anthony in a hoodie hitting mid-range jump shots and wide-open three-pointers, I'm not really that impressed. That Melo's back. Get back in the gym like he should be. Like, you know, losing some weight.
Let's just call it how it is, man. Melo's washed. I'm sorry.
He's done.
To all you Melo fans out there, I'm sorry.
It's his mentality, man.
GG, man.
It's his mentality. Sorry. He's not willing to take a step back and accept a different role. It's like he's still a college player. He's just immature. He's not a leader. He doesn't, you know, he talks about wanting to win, but dude, if he wanted to win, he would have played with the Bulls. And I'm still salty about that. Here's my own bias.
I mean, here's the thing.
Like, Carmelo's a bitch for not going to Chicago.
See, Carmelo, it's like, you know, you have all these Olympic medals. And what did you do? You took a step back and you were the guy for the team. So why can't you do that in the NBA and be the guy for the, like, be that guy for the team that, like, maybe is the number one spot, but you'll still contribute? That's why I think he fails. Because he can't do what he does over in FIBA, which makes no sense to me.
He's just a me first guy. And basketball. I mean, I don't know him personally. You know, I don't think Melo's probably a bad person. But
he prefers the guys in Tony Farm.
I mean, he's probably a great guy, but like.
In basketball, though, he seems like a selfish player, is all I'm saying.
I agree.
He seems to really only care about Melo. And Melo 1, Melo 2, Melo 3.
Shit, Melo, you come to LA, baby. I'll be damn near quick to buy you a jersey. You playing with LeBron? I want some banana boat chemistry on that.
Oh, my.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, he would have to accept the role then. Like, we know damn well he ain't be number one.
Apologize to Melo 4. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure someone got the reference. Because I talked about the other Melos. Man, never mind.
I'm sorry.
We got anything else? Y'all want to do any like recaps on...
Still didn't finish the award ceremony either.
Oh, yeah. You know, we never did Six-Man of the Year. We never did Six-Man of the Year. So, Lou Will.
I'm not going to...
Montrezl Harrell.
No, I see. I get that. Yeah, it's Lou Will, Montrezl Harrell, and then...
Who's the third one?
Exactly. Doesn't matter.
I honestly forgot the third one.
Doesn't matter.
Sabonis. That's right.
Forgetful. Anyways.
From the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, he had most double-doubles in the league this season. That's counting for something, right?
Forgetful.
I mean, yeah.
Why are you hating, man?
Because if it wasn't for Lou Will, that Clippers team would make the playoffs. And if it wasn't,
here's my thing, though. Like, I don't understand how Harrell and Lou Will can be for finals for six man when they're both on the same team. That doesn't make sense to me.
What do you mean?
They both play for the Clippers.
Oh, I thought Montrezl Harrell was for the most improved player.
No, for six man.
Six man, yeah.
Harrell and Lou Will. So I'm just like, NBA, what are you doing?
Like, NBA, you did a right job by picking Lou Will. Once again, you know, I cannot argue with that. That's a solid, you know, he could easily run for the next 5 years if he kept playing. No, I'd still pick Lou Will. He's the greatest six man to ever come off, so. No, I throw him on a Ginobili in there because he started some games.
Wow, that's
not come on, man.
He has the most points as a player coming off the bench, Lou Will. Shout out to him. True six man.
Not even Jamal Crawford, man. Come on. Breaking my heart.
Josh, I'm pretty sure to get back to your point real quick about the Harrell and Lou Will, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the Clippers rotation. So I'm pretty sure they put Harrell and Lou Will, they pair them together when they just sub them in. So they're kind of, in essence, a unit of six men.
That just tells me nobody could tell who is a true six man.
I also just feel like they also
combined for the most points in the league for duo off the bench, if you will. No other bench unit had two players combined. I think Lou Will is doing about 20 points and Harrell around 16, 15, right?
Like,
no other
bench mob
yeah, has that kind of chemistry or star power. Imagine saying star power talking about a bench.
What's the next award?
I was a star for Antonio.
Oh, most improved.
Most improved.
Yeah. Pascal Siakam, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see anyone else really being against him at that. I think Pascal Siakam really showed up in the finals, first off. I mean, I think that goes without saying. Without Siakam's contributions, no doubt they lose. No doubt Raptors have no chance. And I think a lot of Raptors stepped up in that series. Fred VanVleet, even though he said fuck Pop or whatever he said. Fred VanVleet's a savage. Just, you know, if somehow he ever comes across this, you made, oh damn, this super hot chick just
Oh my god.
But this dude straight up.
So we just gonna let that slide real quick.
Come on, no, bro.
Hey man, if you saw
it, you couldn't keep it a thousand?
I can't keep it a thousand, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
I can't keep that a thousand.
His mind's somewhere else, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what else to tell you, man.
That tells you why he has some
That tells you he's got some antics going on behind the scenes.
Can I say, man?
I am not condoning these.
Anyways.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. An unprofessional slip-up.
What's new?
So, wait, yeah. y'all are both rocking with Siakam?
Yeah, I'm rocking with Siakam. No question. The man needs to shoot his three-pointer a little more. He's honestly not a bad three-point shooter. I hate that about some players, man. Bro. He just won't shoot. Just shoot the ball, man. You can hit it. You're open. Too many players hesitate. The NBA right now is three-point oriented. Take the shot. Shoot it. Let it fly.
Like,
green light.
No, yeah. But, like, you need to be even confident. Like, towards the end, though, like, I did kind of, like, want D'Lo to win just because, like, I mean, especially at the end, like, he was just going off. And like, in the playoffs, too, I was just like, dang, like, this dude really showing, like, why he should get it, you know? But I still feel like Pascal, like, overall, like, throughout the whole year was, again, like, the guy, like, to be most consistent for being most improved. But that's just me.
Sorry, guys. And it hurts me to say this.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. It really hurts me to say this.
Please say long.
It hurts me in two different ways, my guys. I really think D'Lo should have won most improved. And that says a lot because he played like complete dog trash in Los Angeles. So
dog trash.
He was just a snitch, man.
He was a snitch. He got what he deserved, but not LA got what they deserved by trading him out. But I mean, then again, they didn't trade D'Lo. They wouldn't get LeBron, so.
And they're honestly about to try to get D'Lo back.
Oh, man. It's
pretty funny.
It would be really cringe for me to
That's
watch
ironic.
All over again.
All the Lakers fans that are calling him a snitch, and then they're like, wow, we have D'Lo. Like, yeah, D'Lo.
He's a goat or savior.
Some bastards, man.
LA fans, man.
I hate LA fans. I'm going on the record, man. LA fans, for the most part, suck. I mean, Celtics fans suck, too. Because there used to be a lot of racist Celtics fans, so.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that.
I think any racist fan is just a.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, obviously, but they had a big fan base of that.
I just got to give it to D'Lo, man. I mean, he put Brooklyn back on the map, and there's nobody else that's even close on that team to the status of D'Lo on that team.
Jared Allen's
no D'Lo.
Spencer Dinwiddie!
No, Spencer Dinwiddie. Hey, man, Jared Allen is the cleanest throw in the league.
There's not many froze, but yeah.
There's not that many froze.
You're right.
Shameless plug, dude. I played Jared Allen in high school. I have a picture with the guy.
That's pretty cool.
This is only for podcast material. If this wasn't on the podcast, I wouldn't even talk about it. But people are listening. This is the content they want to hear. They want to know about our touch with fame. It's the most famous guy I've ever interacted with, true.
I meant Doc Rivers. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Nah, I mean.
Nah. And John Wall.
No, hey, shut up. No, like nobody not, cares. Like, nobody
yeah,
cares.
No one cares. Yeah,
like, no
saying.
One cares.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Damn, man.
Sorry.
True.
Nah, but I got to give it to D'Lo. I mean, he's most improved. I mean, Siakam, yeah, he got way better. But, I mean, you had Kawhi Leonard on your team. I mean, D'Lo had nobody on his team. And he cared. You can't even
I'm
say that.
I'm not going to say for, nobody.
For the
whole team was basically improved, like, their play.
You surround – again.
It doesn't make them a good team, though.
Oh, you're right, because D'Lo was the guy.
I mean Alan Crabb is like low clip player.
I mean, but the amount of exposure D'Lo got by himself compared to Siakam, surrounded by Kawhi,
no, too,
by
man.
Danny Green,
right.
by Serge Ibaka.
Danny Green's some big name
Bro.
Player.
Come on, man, Danny Green.
Put some respect
Actually,
on that
no,
man's
no,
name.
No, I will not.
Put
look,
some respect
look,
on that
no.
man's
like,
name.
I'm just glad
a playoff
I'm
just because he
no,
couldn't
no.
hit shots.
I'm just glad you didn't say Kyle Lowry.
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
I was actually going to say Marcus Gasol next.
Wow. Kyle Lowry had a good playoffs, man.
Oh, here we go. I love
you know
it.
Hey,
I love
you know
it.
Now we're on the topic. We can discuss the playoffs another
wait,
time.
Wait, yeah, yeah. Because well, first of all, we're not done with awards yet. We just got defense player of the year.
God.
Bro,
yeah, all I'm saying is Kyle Lowry played a big part in that playoff. Shout out Kyle Lowry right now. That's all I'm doing. All right, let's talk.
I'm glad you were in the trash bin for a series.
Thank God. Warriors didn't get another shit. All right, defensive player of the year. Paul George. No,
I was like, okay.
No, dude. Actually, I thought it was interesting that Paul George was on there. I didn't look at Kawhi Leonard's like advanced stats or honestly anyone else's, but I found it interesting that – So Rudy Gobert's defensive box plus minus was like a 5.1. compared to like Paul George, who even though he led the league in steals with like 2.2, his box plus minus was like under one, which I find kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting to see that the advanced analytics kind of prove that stats sometimes are just fluff.
Like Steph Curry.
I think there's players with higher defensive impact. There's got to be players with higher defensive impact. You know, Justin steals per game. I mean, Steph Curry led the league in steals one time, and he didn't. He was in the defensive player of the league.
Thank you.
Player of the year conversation. But and that's because he wasn't. He was good at stealing in the passing lanes. He's not a lockup defender. He's not a – and he's not a bad defender, but he's a good pass reader is what he is. That's all I'm saying. I don't think Paul George – I guess Paul George had a better individual year with defense because he also has to guard a larger amount of players. Even then, though,
like Paul George he guards
more positions. Like a two-way defender. Right, exactly. But I don't think Paul George really is in the conversation at all is what I'm trying to get down to.
So who is your pick again for defense player of the year? You going to say honestly, Giannis or what?
I would say Giannis and nothing against Gobert. I just am not a big fan of the traditional five anymore. I think Giannis being able to guard one through five is way more –
of a defensive player.
I mean,
he's
literally a Swiss Army knife. I mean, ideally, you wouldn't put him on a point guard, but he can move much more quickly than Gobert.
I mean, he has guard feet.
And Gobert, part of the reason I think he gets as much defensive credit as he does is because the Jazz actually are really smart with their defensive strategy. Mm-hmm. They force players off the three-point line.
Yeah,
a lot of teams are told to close out. You put your hands up and you just shuffle your feet as you get up to them. Utah Jazz forced players to get off the three-point line. They run them on three-point line and actually have them come toward Gobert because Gobert is such a good rim.
The reason why that's so good is because Gobert is your defense
anchor. Exactly. And that's my point. That's why I say
he was in defense player of the year category.
Right. And that's my point. It's nothing against Gobert when it comes down to it. The reason I like Giannis is because Giannis can guard more. He doesn't need the defensive system. He is the defensive toolkit in one.
It's a strong case. Can't refute it, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. But I agree.
No issue with Gobert winning it. Just my 2 cents. It's my preference.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Gobert won it, but I agree with you. I think Giannis is a more wholesome.
Gobert, was he first team all defense? Do you know that?
Yeah, pretty sure he was first team all defense, right?
I'm just asking before we throw him a defensive player of the year.
Yeah. No, because remember the year when Marcus Gasol won defense player of the year?
That's true, actually.
He was not even first team all defense, so that's why I'm like,
That's interesting you bring that up.
Yeah.
Marcus Gasol. Dude, I always forget that Marcus Gasol even won a defense player of the year.
Exactly.
We need to do an episode where we do players that we forgot won awards.
Bet.
And, like, because there's got to be some, like, MVPs that just, like, went over people's heads, right?
I'd be hella aggravated on that episode. I hope I'm not there for that episode.
You don't like that episode?
I will definitely stay away from the episode.
Why?
Man,
because nothing goes over your head. You know it all.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't know. Sometimes NBA just throws bones to players that don't deserve bones.
That is true.
Facts.
Yeah, I mean, I think narrative.
How the hell does Joakim Noah get a defensive player of the year?
It's narrative.
And LeBron James is healthy for an entire season.
It's narrative. Well, partially.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you want to go with narrative.
But I mean,
that means every year is like, you already pretty much know, like, it's scripted who's going to win.
Yeah. I mean, look at D Rose, right? I mean, D Rose by no means deserved, you know, Steve Nash too. D Rose by no.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Kobe
cost LeBron MVP?
Kobe lost, like, the, what, 09 MVP? He shot, I think it was the 09 one. Kobe definitely should have won it.
Oh, he didn't go back to back.
Yeah, there's one where he got totally hoed on. But point is, yeah, I mean, you'll get a D Rose one. That's, you know, D Rose my favorite player for anyone that doesn't know.
He messed up LeBron going back to back to back.
Right, and that made no sense. I mean, the only reason D Rose won that is because he's a sophomore in the league. We've never seen a breakout like that.
That's true.
Yeah. At least in my opinion. I don't know any sophomore player in the league that's ever blown up like that. To that level and really just taken over. I mean, Derrick Rose was dominant. He wasn't just like, you know, an average player. He's coming out with clutch shots. And I would also go on record and say this, Derrick Rose is in my top five clutch shooters of all time.
I'm gonna no longer participate in this contest.
I have plenty of proof and I would love to continue to back that up because D Rose is hella clutch. You can give the ball to that man and he will create something. He will create an opportunity. And he's done that in the playoffs. He's done that in regular season. He's done that in preseason. He's done we in high school.
It. You love D Rose.
All right.
We get it.
Whatever, man.
Back to defense player of the year. Because I don't know how we got back to.
No, I think we clarified on it. I think everybody's okay with Gobert winning, but we all think that the arsenal of defense is definitely Giannis.
Yeah. Sure. And a narrative plays too much of a part in awards. Yeah,
factual.
Awards should not have that much narrative. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're too soft, and this is getting to the Hall of Fame too. We let like everybody in the Hall of Fame just because, well, this is a great player that we kind of want to remember, but he wasn't like great, you know, like he's not like quite a superstar. He didn't actually like make, like, if I ask you right now, does Kemba Walker make the Hall of Fame or not?
His career's not over. I can't say that.
I guess that's fair. But based on...
I'll give you a better example, because he asked me this one time. Is Vince Carter in the Hall of Fame?
Hell yes.
Okay, well, Vince Carter's... Yeah, Vince Carter... Yes. Whoa. I was joking about it. When I said no, that was a joke. But, like, even Vince Carter, by Hall of Fame standards, should be considered, like, a lower-end Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Not a first ballot. Yeah, not a first ballot. Right.
That's fair.
But I think we let...
But compared to everybody else, that's going to be on that ballot.
Depending on that year.
That year,
true. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying... In the grand scope of things, he is a lower tier of Hall of Famer.
Considering there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but he should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
He should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, yes, for sure. No doubt. So,
but I mean, I guess, you know, to sum up,
we let narrative control too much.
Yes. And at the end of the day, we can't control it. So I guess what we're trying to say is we're okay with the picks, you know, for the most part. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good. Good capping point. I think let's get into the era arguments. Not fine.
I was like, damn.
No, that's way too beefy for this episode.
LeBron the GOAT. I don't care what anyone says. See you later.
All right, so we got Josh's sign off. LeBron's the GOAT. James, you got anything to say to the people?
Shout out to all my Tar Heels that got drafted in this draft, man. Y'all work y'all's asses off, man. I just want to say that don't let that Auburn defeat define y'all as not a championship team. That was definitely a championship team. But shout out to Kobe White, Sub-Zero. Cam Johnson had the steal at 11 in the seer. Y'all get in the league. Shout out to Kenny Williams for being a spur in the free agency. Luke May making the Bucks roster. I hope y'all all become NBA players. Okay. Just know that I'll definitely be watching y'all if y'all make the NBA for sure. That's my sign off on the draft and et cetera.
Okay. Damn. Wow. That's a tough follow up. first, I want to say wealth is in the mind, not in the pocket. Shout out ASAP Rocky.
Oh my gosh.
Yo, one time for Mac Miller too. Sure.
Sure.
Because that's my boy. Shout out to Connor Steele. Shout out to Manny Estrada. Y'all both really pushed me to reach out to James and Josh and get this all set up. So we appreciate the support. Obviously, shout out to y'all for whoever's listening. We appreciate the support.
Y'all are the real goats.
Yeah, y'all are the real ones right here. We appreciate y'all tuning in. And
I mean, I guess on that note.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we got. So thanks.